Well, we're in chapter 8, and what I was given was from verse 40 down to the end, and we're going to read that. And it came to pass, when Jesus was returned, that is, he came from the other side of the lake, when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, and they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying, but as he went the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And all denied Peter, and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee, and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." When the woman saw that she was not hid, and came trembling and falling down before him, and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was made healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only." And she shall be made whole. And then he came into the house. He suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Now we trust the Lord will bless his word. When we come to read in the Bible some of these stories, we are very apt to say to ourselves, "Well, we know it." Then you come to this story, for example, the woman who touched the hem of his garment. I didn't remember, but reading it I remember that when I started to preach, the first gospel meeting I took was in Hebron Hall. I spoke on that subject. I confess I've spoken often on that. When you read it, you say you know all about it. And we think we know all about it. And maybe we miss what the writer is bringing before us, really. For example, in Matthew we read of all the miracles in two chapters, chapter 8 and 9, is it, of Matthew. Then we come to Mark and Luke. He tells us the miracles as the Lord journeyed, quite different. And they've got different aspects to tell us. Now, when you read this story in Luke and in Mark, there are commentators who tell us they're sandwich passages. Sandwich passages. You know what a sandwich is? It's a piece of bread, white or brown, and of course one side and the other. And we define a sandwich by saying it's a salmon sandwich, it's a meat sandwich, it's a cheese sandwich. It's what's in the middle that matters. Now in this passage I'm going to suggest to you that what matters is the story of the woman. Now we're going to think about this. You see, it starts with Jairus, and then it breaks off, and we don't hear him again until we come to the end. Now, the middle part, I suggest to you, is important, and the middle of the middle is the question, who touched me? Now, there are similarities in these stories that are very interesting to notice. Both are about women. One is probably about middle age, the other is a young girl, of course. Both are addressed in terms of endearment by the Lord Jesus. He says, daughter to one, little maid to the other. The woman was 12 years suffering from this trouble. The little girl was 12 years of age. The Lord was scorned in both stories. Then he said, who touched me? Well, the people thought and looked at him incredulously. What a question to ask. Even the disciples said, they're all touching you, they're barging against you. And they scorned him. In the other story, when they came to the house of Jairus, the Lord Jesus said that the girl was not dead, she was sleeping. And they put him to scorn, it says. Now, I've got two little points tonight, just two. And they're these. We're going to think about two people of faith. And then at the end, we're going to look at two kinds of faith from this story. First of all, we're going to go through the story quickly. We are firstly introduced to Jairus, and we are told he was a ruler in the synagogue. Now maybe when we read it, we pass over that. We ask ourselves what a ruler in the synagogue was. Well, he was a very eminent man in the eyes of the Jews. He was responsible for the building of the synagogue, with all its furnishings, with all the utensils used in worship, were his responsibility. He was responsible also on the Sabbath for the psalms they would sing, the person who would read the scriptures, and of course the person who would speak as well. Now, he was highly regarded by the Jews. And very often they were rich men, the rulers of the synagogue. And we find him coming to the Lord Jesus, and he bows down in obeisance, and he asks the Lord Jesus, in desperation, to come to his house, that his little daughter, of course, is very ill, and she's dying. Now, Jairus has a measure of faith, and he's quite sure that Jesus is going to do something for him. And of course, the Lord Jesus, not like he did with other people who asked to come to their house. Remember there was someone asked the Lord Jesus to come, and he got the reply, you won't believe except he sees signs and miracles. But he said to the Lord, come. And the Lord said, go. And his son was living, of course. But here it is that they asked the woman, Jairus, now must have thought when he started out with the Lord Jesus and met the throng of people, he must have been discouraged, wasn't he? was holding up the Lord going to his house. And here's a woman suddenly comes on the scene who suffered for 12 years with some gynecological trouble, and she had spent all her money seeking a cure for her illness that had sapped her strength. Now, in the law of Moses, of course, this woman was not allowed to touch anybody, or anybody should touch her. The law demanded the woman suffering from this would be segregated. Now, tradition had it, in that time, they had a false conception of how this trouble came about, with the result that they decided that she had to be divorced from her husband and, of course, ostracized by society. On the basis of that, they had an idea it was because of sexual sin. Now, that was the case with this woman. 12 years she struggled. 12 years she sought a cure. Spent all her money on physicians. Of course, woke with a doctor, and he says neither could she be cured by any. Mark, who's not a doctor, puts it another way. He says she spent all her money and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Luke wouldn't say that, of course. And so, she was sapped of her strength, and by the Lord Moses segregated. Now, here was a woman, and the other Gospels tell us she made up her mind, if I could only touch the hem of his garment. Now, she might have had a little wrong thoughts. Of course, she might have thought that the Lord Jesus was a representative of God, and if she touched, then she would be made better. Or if she was well instructed in the scriptures, she might know that a person who touched the altar became holy, and so she thought she might touch the Lord Jesus. Well, we know what she did. We know that she came and touched the hem of his garment. Now, many commentators tell us what that word touched is a weak word for what she did. What she did was she grasped. And what she grasped was not the hem. It wasn't the hem. It was the tassels at the hem of the garment. That is the word they tell us in the Greek. And she grasped it. That being so, we can go on. She heard. She came. And she touched, of course, his garment. And immediately she was made whole. Now we notice that the Lord's miracles were instantaneous and indisputable. Now it's a very important thing to remember that. I remember many years ago being in Rome at a missionary conference. We'd gone really to meet with Colin, and Colin said to me, there's a faith healing meeting in the basement, let's go and sit and listen. Well, we went and we listened to a man say this. He hadn't eaten for 3 weeks, couldn't eat, and he had come and they laid hands on him, and he had gone home and had a big feed, had the next day breakfast and dinner, and here he was saying, no, that wasn't indisputable, was it? You see, the Lord's miracles were indisputable. The Lord stopped, of course, when the woman touched, and he said, who touched me? Now, did the Lord not know who touched him? You remember that Adam and Eve were put in the garden, and they sinned, they ate of the tree, the fruit of the tree that was forbidden, and their eyes were opened, and they discovered they were naked, and they went and hid themselves. And God came down in the cool of the evening and said, Adam, where art thou? Did the God not know where they were? The point in this story is, the Lord wanted this lady to come publicly and confess what she had done. And you see, she comes tremblingly to the Lord Jesus. She realized that she wasn't hidden. She wanted to, having a cure, really to go back home and be glad of the cure. But she realized that she was not hidden, and she could only come, and she comes tremblingly to the Lord, and she tells them all. She tells them why she came, and what she did, and how she was made whole, how she had been healed. Now, Jesus addresses this woman very tenderly. He uses a word he used of nobody else. He says, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, Eckhart Bruce, I think it is, says that word should be, my faith hath saved thee. Now, I so happened to look up MacDonald's commentary, and I looked at Luke, he didn't mention this, but I looked at Mark, and he said, the phrase is synonymous with, thy faith hath saved thee. Now, and then he said, go in peace. Now, if you take that, these words are pregnant with meaning, of course. Thy faith hath saved thee. When we think about salvation, we think about three characteristics, don't we? We are saved from the wrath of God that our sins deserve. We are saved from the power of sin. And we are saved eventually from the very presence of sin. And he said, go in peace. The word is shalom. And in the Old Testament, that referred to people who were right with God, at peace with God. So it's pregnant with meaning if you read it like that. Now, no doubt there was many in the crowd that wanted to see a display, a miracle of power. But the Lord was interested in something else. There is a book written by a Jew about relationships, and he says in it that he has a relationship he called I and it, and I and thou. He says, I have a relationship, I and it, with my computer. I have a relationship, I and it, with my books. I and it, with my tools. But he says, I have a relationship, I and thou, with my wife, and with my son, and with my daughter. Now, the Lord Jesus wanted a relationship. He wanted a personal encounter with himself. Now, salvation's just that. It's a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the interruption of the woman, of course, halted Jairus' progress to his house, but it did not stop it. Luke tells us how they went on. Verse 49, Mark as well as Luke says, while the Lord Jesus was speaking, they come from the house and tell him that his daughter had died. The messenger said, do not trouble the teacher anymore. Jairus said nothing, but Jesus overheard the words and immediately told him to stop worrying. And he said, only believe. Now that word believe there means make an act of faith. Now in 52 and 53, we really don't know who is meant by all those who were weeping and wailing. Now, of course, the Jews had professional wear loss and rebirth. Anybody died, they got these professional marks. Sorry, Matthew's rendering of the story tells us of people playing the flute at the time. There were more mirth. And the Lord Jesus, of course, comes. And he says, the girl is not dead, she's sleeping. And they laugh him to scorn. And he puts everybody out of the house except the father and mother and the three chosen disciples. And of course, he says to the little girl, little maid, arise, and she rose up to life. And he said, give her something to eat. It's an important part, isn't it? That when people come to life in Christ, they need to get something to eat, of course. And so that we've gone through quickly of that story. We're going to think now, very briefly, about two kinds of faith. Notice, the man was named for us, Jairus. The woman, we don't know her name. Jairus was a man of standing. She was a castaway. He appealed for another. She appealed for herself. He approached as ruler of the synagogue. She came behind his back. He came with a certain boldness. Come to my house, my daughter is dying. She was ashamed, had a complete lack of confidence. Now at the end of the day, it's the woman's faith that the Lord commends. Daughter, thy faith hath saved thee, or healed thee, if you like that better. Now, if we ask people today what faith is, you always get the same answer. They say it's religion. They say, I've got my faith, you've got your faith, and so on. It's equated to religion. Now, the Bible never speaks about faith in that way. If you are very critical of that, you might say, what about Jude? He speaks about contending for the faith once for all delivered. That's a body of truth, of course, believed by Christians. Faith is never spoken in the Bible like that. What is faith? Now, faith is the gift of God. Now, Paul writing to the Ephesians says, by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I know some people would say it's salvation. Let me tell you this, it doesn't matter, they're both the gift of God. But I do think it's faith that is the gift of God. I'm going to say this, that faith is the gift of God that enables one to perceive the very truth of the gospel and the truth of God's word. The validity of faith, the validity of faith is in the truthfulness of what we believe. Now, you remember that Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 15 of his first epistle, and he said words like this, because some of them didn't believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He said, if Christ be not risen, your preaching is vain, and your faith is vain. Why? Because they were believing a lie. But then he said, now is Christ risen from the dead? You see, the validity of faith is in the truthfulness of what we believe, the object of our faith. Now, of course, if we ourselves have faith, it's only because God opened our eyes and worked in our heart and gave us faith to trust in Christ. And you know, if we're going to see people saved, it will only be if God opens our eyes and gives them saving faith, as theologians call it. And so we need to pray that God will open eyes, open blinded eyes, that they might see the truth of that. So, just let me close. Here is a portion, it's a sandwich story. It shows us two types of faith, really. And it was the woman's faith. You know, she came, and she had no confidence in self. She knew she couldn't do anything. She was poor and needy. She knew she was going to die if she didn't get a cure. And she comes to the Lord, and the Lord heals her and saves her. And we trust these things might be a blessing to us. Let's pray. Father, we do thank thee for the privilege of being together tonight. We thank thee for the time spent in prayer. And we again pray for the recent meetings. We do pray for thy word that was spoken. Our God, we do pray that it may result in thy name being glorified and some of those people being blessed with thy great salvation. We do pray for us as an assembly that thou wilt help us in what we seek to do for thee. Father, help us to be those who continue to preach the gospel and seek that others may be brought into thy great salvation. We do commend to thee again all the members of the assembly who are unwell or through age are unable to attend. We just commend all to thee and pray a blessing now as we part in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.